This is Reverend Bookburn, and when I'm not counseling Senator David Diaperman Vitter or Pastor Ted Methman Hager, I'm broadcasting at VoltaRadio.com, Sunday nights, 9 to 11 or so, East Coast Time, USA, at VoltaRadio.com.
We'll be right back. fucking Pope, which I had had enough of the Pope, all right? The Pope who really held on. He really held on. He wasn't going anywhere. He's just like hanging on. Like, and the press could not wait for him to die. They're just like waiting outside that whole Saturday when he died. But he wouldn't die all day. They're just like waiting like, he's not dead yet. But he might be when we come back from this commercial. So sick that he couldn't even come to the window. Like, he was so sick, all he could do was manage a blah. But even that blah was anti-gay. You know, like, the Pope talked so much shit. The Pope was castigating the media for making gays look normal. Yeah, you a real good judge. A normal. With your gold dress. And your matching gold hats. Living up in a Vatican with 500 men. Surrounded by the finest antiques in the world. Queen, please. Like Versace did. So now they found a new pope. I don't know how they do that. They get all the cardinals together and they play Vatican Idol. They look around to see who has the most liver spots. Oh, that guy. And that guy goes on and he puts on a dress to judge people. Being Pope is a lot like being a drag queen. It's just like this whole weird focus on religion is just making me crazy. Like, all that shit about fucking Terry Schiavo. Like, every time I see Terry Schiavo on television, I would just be upset because I would think this is a private family matter and I have no right to intrude on this. You know, this is none of my business. And all I can say is if that was me, oh, you better kill me. Will find a way to kill you. I will stare at you with my one good eye. Until you kill yourself. And it was making me so sick, all these right-to-lifers going on and on about the sanctity of life when they could give a shit about the fact that there have been soldiers in Iraq for 2 years with no exit strategy. This barrage of information is all there to distract us from the fact that George Bush is actually president. watching the election on television, and it was great to see states go either red or blue. I thought, well, that's convenient. Now we have a color-coded map to where all the stupid people are. And I think a lot of people wanted to be depressed that George Bush won, but don't know what kind of president John Kerry would have been. We don't know if he would have been good. We have no idea. But we know that George Bush is going to fuck it up.
Insured people blaspheming sacred and ancient mythology, and now my having to introduce this next song by Jefferson Airplane from one of their last albums, the Long John Silver release from 1972, another hideous, disgusting, blasphemous song entitled Easter.
Thank you. Hey, this is Deborah.
And Keith.
From the band Davey. And you're listening to Reverend Bookburn on The Reverend Is In at VoltaRadio.com.
Providing a moral support for indie bands and media since 2001.
doing I Won't Give Up from the absolutely phenomenal CD of theirs entitled The Audacity of Hype. And that is a must obtain CD. Witch Hunt did Legislative Bodies Legislating Bodies and Access Denied. The band Davey did the Volta Radio Station ID and the Reverend is in promo. Jefferson Airplane did Easter. Adam Brodsky did Jump on a Cross and Die. Margaret Cho from her Assassin comedy CD did The Pope / Terry Schiavo and started off with the Avengers doing We Are the One. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend is In. And tonight is Easter, what some people will do to get nailed, 2010. And I don't even remember the last year we did an Easter show. Yeah, it seems like something always comes up, like working on a Sunday, yes, on a holiday, one of the social work jobs in recent history, or personal circumstances, or whatever. It just seems like something always prevented an Easter show, and so this year it was like, you know what, fuck it. We can do without a palm and stroke Sunday, because that's been done most years, but this is a sacred annual holiday tradition, so we spared no expense or energy or amount of energy to make sure this happened and have the time off, etc. Let's see. The next show is not next Sunday, but in 2 weeks, Reverend Bookburn's birthday show. And I know of at least some new music and goodies that are coming this way. So you will hear more new tunes. Actually, the last several shows have had never played before on the show and or brand new stuff played on the show. That's in 2 weeks, April 18th, which is the closest show to the birthday, Reverend Bookburn's birthday show. After that, I'm not sure what the theme is, but there's a couple of probable themes coming up. One is we want to goof on the Discovery Television Channel if they go through with a spectacularly idiotic plan to have a Sarah Palin TV show, and not just any show, kind of a show. Like, if she just got on it and spoke like a total idiot, like she does on Fox, quote, news, unquote, then it would be too much of a joke, you know, to want to make fun of, because it would be kind of redundant to make fun of already obvious stupidity. But a nature show and celebrating her being on a nature show and her celebrating her animal killing and her aerial hunting and all of that really, really sick shit, especially during a disturbing time, like during the seal hunt, and just insanity of unspeakable levels. And news like that coming through and in here. Oh, and the station thinks they'll be cool if they have a Sarah Palin animal slaughter show. So if they go through with that plan, we're going to do a theme around it. And that will be coming up. And in the great, great fucking news department, better than Great Fucking Friday, last Friday, friend that we've spoken of really since the beginning of the show, but especially in the last couple of years, because he is a marijuana prisoner and a long-term, very close friend of everybody here at the show. Pastor Whoremaster, John Necraptist, myself, miscellaneous other oddities who were involved in this, and oddity is, of course, a term of endearment, but unavailable to us for the last couple of years, except by letter, and for a while, but even email. Mr. Z may be out very soon, and well, you'll be the first to know when news about that comes out. And if or when that happens, there will be a fucking celebration, and we will want to share in the celebration. So there will be a theme around it, whether he can get around to this area or not. The celebration will be on the air, or one of them. And we will be celebrating the release of the marijuana prisoner, Mr. Z, and personal friend. And, of course, since we were even more affected by the insane, fucking sane war against weed, if we weren't incensed enough that real criminals, that violent people, that rapists, that pedophile priests, that mobster people, etc., could all be released in large numbers to make room for the harmless marijuana convict who has to serve the mandatory minimum or plea bargain guilty and get out in fewer years. If we weren't incensed enough that billions of tax dollars were wasted on the insane propaganda war and police state war, if we weren't incensed enough that a harmless plant that is also full of medicinal value was scapegoated as the cause of one of the problems of this sick fucking society, if we weren't incensed enough by the number of marijuana prisoners in this nation, we were incensed out of our fucking skulls when it hit home and one of our own became a marijuana prisoner. And even though he continued to even contribute to the show from his cage, and had ideas, gave us a lot of information, not just on the marijuana issue, but also on prison issues, and of course, the overlapping of both. And when he gets out, we will celebrate big, and we will celebrate on this show. And of course, as we've covered many times every year since we heard about it, thanks to Dr. Susan Block, legendary sexologist from California, May is National Masturbation Month, and of course we love celebrating that. So whatever the themes are of however many shows we do in May, either the main theme or a sub-theme of each show will also be relevant to our celebrations of National Masturbation Month. Input to all of those shows, of course, and feedback to already done shows and whatever, sending great information or cartoons, links that could be used at reverendbookburn.com. Write to Reverend Bookburn, which is Rev Bookburn, one word, no period, revbookburn@sjcdc.org. The main website, updated usually weekly, updated today, is reverendbookburn.com, and a lot of links and a lot of goodies added today. In addition to reverendbookburn.com, there are links at that site for the MySpace page, the YouTube page, and the Facebook page, and the fan site that is also on Facebook. All right, what else are we going to talk about? All right, we're going to save the Jell-O stuff. And for the second set, like I said, we saw Jell-O Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine and Witch Hunt, and there were other bands, and apologies to them because, yeah, we kind of had a reunion with Jell-O and we're shamelessly promoting this show and reuniting with other people, meeting more people, etc. So we didn't really give a lot of attention to the other bands that you sounded good. I don't remember the names of them, but for what it's worth, they sounded good. This was March 26th in Philadelphia at the Trocadero, and we're going to discuss that at length after the second set of tunes. Easter. A time to get nailed. And I always thought that it was a funny expression to use, you know, that he was nailed, because I could easily see some helpless, hippie-looking guy, kind of like Mr. Z, yelling towards the sky, "But Dad, you misunderstood me when I said I wanted to get nailed." And considering the child protection laws of civilized societies and even mildly evolved societies, in which you are supposed to protect your children, defend them, if it's within your power, like if you're an ordinary human and, you know, a group of people have arms and weapons of mass destruction, of course, it's obvious you're limited what you could do. But if you are outpowering the attackers, it stands to reason that you should and should want to, not that I even believe in the word should, but it's a given that you would naturally want to defend your child, let alone if you were this fucking deity, all powerful, can create a fucking universe, can nail a virgin from billions of light years away. And I'd love to see a porn version of that. If you were that fucking powerful, what were you doing when they were off and your kid? Well, kid, you know, 30-something. This is just entertaining these delusional fantasies. I mean, there were 16 known father and son legends for the preceding few thousands of years, several thousands of years preceding, you know, the final father and son myth that sustained itself through expansion, conquest, and genocide, and wiping out the cultures on every continent it could. But if he were to entertain this, then where the fuck is this father figure when they're snuffing the son? And the answer is kind of obvious. Didn't do a fucking thing. Like, he sat, you know, with his thumb in his ass, or eating popcorn, or both, sticking his thumb in his ass and then eating popcorn, and saying, nothing on TV, I think I'll watch the offing of my son, and do nothing. So needless to say, since all of this kind of shit has been resurfacing because of this holiday coming around, we have naturally called the child protection agencies and services in this Philadelphia area, and they're real fuckers around here. You know, they usually take kids away from poor people, sometimes legitimately, many times not legitimately. So we know what hard asses they are, or at least on the poor. If you're rich, or if you're a priest, or, you know, something like that, a powerful person, then it doesn't matter what you do. But we called the report and said, you know, that fucker just sat around and had the ability to prevent what was happening and did not. And we didn't spell it out in detail. You know, we juiced it up and let them salivate and say, well, who is it? Is there a name? Do you know the name of the street? And is it here in Philadelphia? But anyway, so it's time, and we think as a public service, you should deluge the local child protection, because justice is timeless, and there should be no statute of limitation towards anything inappropriately done to children or inaction on the part of those who could stop it, or could have reported it, or could have done anything in any way relevant to the perpetration of the crime. So, it's Easter. People didn't understand the hippie Mr. Z type when he said he wanted to get nailed. And now all these knuckleheads around the world reenact it, some of whom literally, like some of them literally having themselves nailed, no mental illness there. And it brings up not only the absurdities that go around to these myths, and not only the total psychopaths that are created by it, whether it's the Christian Army of God or the Islamic Al-Qaeda and other jihadists, really flip sides of the exact same coin. And but even less than that, just the people who buy into the myths and hear voices that aren't really there, have visions that aren't really there, which in this modern world is called mental illness and desperate need for treatment and or medication. But where did these myths come from? Who were the other 16 fathers and sons, the stories of which were eye-fucking-dentical to this one? The white hats versus the black hats, the father and son team, born of a virgin, same time of the year, too, roughly. And kid operates from age 30 on, same ending as well. And if you really want to explore this, if you really want to be free of this deeply programmed, deeply conditioned acceptance of said mythology, there's three videos that you need to see. It's really hard to get, but it really got the ball rolling for exploring the really ancient myths on video, and that is entitled The Naked Truth, Exposing the Deceptions About the Origins of Modern Religions. And after that, and this is pretty easy to get on DVD, and they expanded upon the information from The Naked Truth and produced The God That Wasn't There, and that is very highly recommended. And some of that was used, and a whole lot more, obtained by none other than Bill Maher himself. And that guy is just fantastic. And his film, Religulous, I know it sounds like a Fox word, and or Bush word. Thank you. These guys are awake and functioning and not too toasted. Religulous by Bill Maher is also a must-see if you haven't seen it so far, and covers the old myths that preceded the latest round of father and son mythologies, and it also puts it a little bit in perspective how these people came up with this shit, you know, and ironically, it's the kind of stuff that fundamentalists of both of the superstar books, holy books of these times, came into being, and stuff they love to hate, like astrological myths. And of course, astronomy is a science, but astrology is more superstition and fantasy. And but based on the perceptions of astrology and other things that modern day fundamentalists totally fucking hate, was the origin of a lot of the myths that the con artists and hucksters at the time, and of course the emperors and power freaks, used to control people. Talking and talking, and my voice is shot to shit yet again, but that's okay. And another thing I wanted to talk about on this Easter show, even though we talk about it a lot, is just the mind-boggling child sexual abuse scandal of the Catholic Church. And even though we've talked about it from day one, from the very first show in January 2001 to the present day, it's still shocking, not just because of the perpetrators, but because of all of the assholes higher up in the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, all the cardinals, and the last two popes, and maybe even more than that, who are not only total scum, but they are guilty criminals who are accomplices and enablers and cover-uppers knowingly of pedophile priests. And it's become at the forefront of our minds, mostly mine, here in this show, because it's coming to light in even greater detail how global it is, the number of kids at a deaf facility who were abused, and it was known by church top officials, and the guy who right now is the fucking Pope, how many people in Germany and Ireland and so many other countries in the world. And so the scandal is just growing and growing, And yes, you expect the naive and the gullible and most foolish people to defend them even after all of that. But first of all, to just the lay follower, I think it's still pretty fucking pathetic if you stick money in a collection plate. Because if you do that, yes, it's your beliefs, and yes, not all priests are pedophiles, but you are, you might as well walk into the playground where your kids play, and if you find a Chester, if you find a pedophile lurking around your kids, you may as well walk over, pull out your wallet, and hand them all your money, and say, here, I want to donate to you. Because how fucking pathetic is it to be a financial enabler of these fucking people? And if you said, no way would I ever donate to that playground guy or that internet guy who's chasing your kids on the internet, if you would not give them money, if you would not give them a contribution, then the same principle should apply to pedophiles who are guilty on such a spectacularly grander scale. And what are the perpetrators and enablers and defenders higher up doing? They are making the most stupid and lame blame attacks on their usual targets and blaming their enemies for what they created, what they covered up, and what they, on a global scale, from top to bottom, are guilty of. They blamed every adult gay male, liberals and permissive people, but it's their use of the word liberal, and non-abstinent people, hippies, no shit, and on, and it shouldn't even need to be said, because that is the most stupid fucking thing to come out of a pedophile's mouth. And yes, they're pedophiles. And the defenders are just as guilty. Bill Donahue of the Catholic League, who aggressively defends them in the media, is an enabler and an accomplice for lying and helping them put a spin on it and helping them lie about it. But to blame the people that they politically attack and the people that they want to continue to oppress to this day, it's like, no, dudes. In fact, the fact that your operation is not only the number one horror of the world, the largest pedophile ring in history, including the cover-ups, every gay person anywhere has been vindicated because their attackers are the likes of you. Every woman who ever used birth control or got an abortion and was harassed by your attack dogs, no offense to dogs, and your theocrats and your jihadists and even your terrorists who bombed and shot people at clinics, every woman who's been sexual, used birth control, or had an abortion has been vindicated. They were vindicated anyway, but now they're even more obviously vindicated because their attackers are guilty of the largest pedophile ring in history that is global and goes right to the very top hierarchy of the church. So don't go blaming the fucking hippies and the gays. There are fewer gays who are into pedophilia per capita than there are straight men. Now they'll say no, but they're male priests who attack boys. It's a different ball game. Whether you're gay or straight or bi, if you are an adult human who is sexual with other adult humans, you are okay. And sexual orientation is just a part of your identity and is not a problem. A pedophile is not a sexual person per se, but like people who hear voices and hallucinate angels and is a theocratic terrorist, a pedophile is a mentally ill person to an extreme, and it's not even to be considered sexuality per se. It is to be considered abuse and criminal, but definitely abuse. And whichever gender the target is, or the victims are, whether it's because of accessibility and opportunity or what the variables are, the fact of the matter is it is abusive and has nothing to do with a sexual identity. It is strictly abuse, just like anti-abortion terrorist and Christian jihadist Neil Horsley, when he had sex with a mule, which he admitted and talked about in interviews before putting up his abortion doctor hit list on the internet, he was an animal abuser. So it didn't matter if the mule was a male or a female. He was a sick person and an animal abuser. And sexual identity, gender, were irrelevant. So don't go fucking saying that it is because of women or gays or hippies or people who don't live a freakish, self-denying, miserable, mentally disturbed life, and it's all their fault. No, you manufacture your own fucking monsters. Don't say, oh, the gays snuck into the church, which is even more idiotic an argument. No, you manufactured your own monsters. You indoctrinated them into mandatory celibacy. And mandatory celibacy, psychologically, screws up these people a lot more than simply not getting laid. Because if you don't get laid, you still have the illusion, well, still, tomorrow night, I could get lucky. You know, even if I look like Meatloaf, you know, even if I'm more stupid than Ted Nugent or Victoria Jackson, I could still get sex, maybe. You know, there's like the illusion of hope, you know, even if it's a long shot. But to either a prisoner or a clergy person or somebody who just says in advance, no sex for the next 10 years, or even worse, no sex ever for the rest of my life, and then they're bunking with all these guys around, and they're all crazy, and they're all learning about this Dark Ages indoctrination and mythology, and they're isolated, and of course, if they have sex with each other, which probably happens more often than admitted, you create these freakish monsters. You are requiring them to defy nature and to defy rationality and to defy sanity, and created an environment that was safe for them to perpetrate the most monstrous crimes that are just unimaginable. And when these crimes became known in the 1980s, as documented in the book, Lead Us Not Into Temptation, Catholic Priests and the Sexual Abuse of Children, by Jason Berry, 1992. It wasn't just the case in 2002 in Boston, but the scandal first exploded in the early 80s in Louisiana, in the New Orleans area. And when Jason Berry, who was a Catholic reporter at the time, moved down there so that he could vindicate these guys because he thought the stories were bullshit, he learned that it was not only true, but he kind of unearthed this hotbed of a scandal. Many more perpetrators, not just one, covered up by four times as many people higher up in the church. And that was well documented in his book, very well written, by somebody who sought out to write a book vindicating the accused, many of whom convicted, definitely guilty. And of course, during the 80s, that's when they were ignoring priest cases, a lot of these child protection agencies, and fucking over everybody from crossing guards to teachers and people like Pete Townsend and so many others. The McMartin case, the case where it was practically a whole town in Washington State, and a 20-year-old woman in North Jersey, Kelly Michaels, and the McMartin case, and all of these cases were total bullshit, and lives were destroyed, and these people were threatened, savagely beaten, death threats, lives destroyed, beaten in prison, and these were people who were not guilty. They just had fuckheads who built their careers manufacturing these cases of hysteria that they were satanic blood drinkers, they were piss freaks, they were all this crazy shit. And while they were manufacturing so many cases and with the most insane questioning techniques of the kids imaginable, there were real cases and real abuses that were not addressed. So they were actually causing more pedophilia to happen and disregarding so many priest cases. In Nebraska, a Catholic social services agency was even guilty of helping to cover up priest pedophilia. So the church is well exposed. They're coming up with more and more totally absurd and idiotic ways of trying to blame somebody else, which is something that a person who never developed past childhood would want to do. No, it's not because of me, it's because of you. And come up with these absurdly implausible explanations and ways of trying to blame the people they hate. But the people they hate have been even more vindicated. articles linked at the update today at reverendbookburn.com. But one I hope you don't skip or not read is about the atheist rebuttals to one, what is he, a bishop. Yeah, it sounds like chess. This bishop who was like, it's because we're a world that went down with atheists that all of these scandals have happened, which is, of course, even more idiotic, you know, than the blame the hippies kind of and gay men kind of argument. And he was and in his article, he was saying, look what the atheists have done, like Hitler. And I thought, no, you were not stupid enough to say that. Hitler was Hitler because of his strong identity as a Catholic and as a Christian. He was one of yours, baby. He was one of yours. And that was a big part of his whole trip, not just because he targeted Jews and gay people, has something else you have in common with Hitler, one of the many things you have in common with him. But that was his whole rationale, was not only nationalistic fatherland security, expansion and conquer, and other things that sound like it's straight out of the textbook of Corporate America 101. But bringing our nation back to morals. You know, the most loaded propagandistic word in modern times. Bring back morals. Not ethics or compassion or humanitarianism. You know, we don't like those things, but we like morals. Like these bizarrely worded, defined concepts like morals, you know, controlling people's sexuality, controlling people's private lives, and creating this odd and illogical code for other people. Morals, and even worse, family values and Christian supremacy and theocracy. He was so one of yours, and he was also supported by the Pope at that time. You know, they try to lie and say the Pope spoke out against him and the Catholics suffered because of it. Total horseshit. And there's many sources you could read, you know, to debunk that kind of bullshit. But one great source is the book called Hitler's Pope. So anyway, this motherfucker in this article that we linked at reverendbookburn.com today, atheists counter the arguments of Bishop whatever the fuck, who said our nation went down because of atheists, like because of the last century, our world went down because of atheists like Hitler. No, he was one of yours. And to show he was even more like you, he was against birth control and abortion. Have those Aryan babies. Even if you're barely surviving, have those Aryan babies. And it is necessary for us to do what we're doing for fatherland security. All right, I'm way talked out. And we have another set to play. Let's see. Let's play a track for Mr. Z, who might be being released, no longer a prisoner of war in the war against weed, from Marijuana's Greatest Hits. This is Freedom of Expression doing I Got Stoned and I Missed It. We'll be right back.
twist myself a taste of something nice and smooth and mellow to while away the day. When my mind yells through the traps and find new coat and grab your hats, and there's some fool down your main street giving dollar bills away. But I laid around, I stayed around, I waited around and played around, and then I got stoned and I missed it. I got stoned and I missed it. Fuck the pain away.
hail the American night. What was that? I don't know. Sounds like guns, thunder.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Los Angeles, California, the Dome.
Listen, man. I don't know how many of you people believe in astrology. Yeah, that's right. That's right, baby. I am a Sagittarius. The most philosophical of all the signs. But anyway, I don't believe in it. I think it's a bunch of bullshit myself. But I'll tell you this, man. I'll tell you this. I don't know what's gonna happen, man. But I want to have my kicks before the whole shithouse goes up in flames. All right.
From Africa, the Grand Hotel. He was drunk. A big party last night. Back, going back in all directions, sleeping these insane hours. I'll never wake up in a good mood again. I'm sick of these stinky boots.
This is the end of this, fella.
I think you're up to say call all the police around. Between the police will be in the car to support their own group. Unless he wants to have them grab at his body.
Lament for my cock, sore and crucified, I seek to know you, acquiring soulful wisdom. You can open walls of mystery, strip show. How to acquire death in the morning show. TV death, which the child absorbs. Death well, mystery, which makes me right. Slow train, the death of my cock gives life. Forgive the poor old people who gave us entry, taught us God in the child's prayer in the night. Guitar player, ancient wise satyr, sing your ode to my cock. Caress its lament, stiffen and guide us, we've frozen. Lost cells, the knowledge of cancer, to speak to the heart and give the great gift, words, power, trance. This stable friend and the beasts of his zoo, wild hair chicks, women flowery in their summit, monsters of skin, each color connects to create the boat which rocks the race. Could any hell be more horrible than now and real? Pressed her thigh and death smiled. Death, old friend, death and my cock are the world. I can forgive my injuries in the name of wisdom, luxury, romance. Sentence upon sentence, words are healing lament for the death of my cock spirit has no meaning in the soft fire. Words got me the wound and will get me well, if you believe it. All join now and lament for the death of my cock, a tongue of knowledge in the feathered night. Boys get crazy in the head and suffer, I sacrifice my cock in the altar of silence.
This is Halliburton, Ernie, and it's so good to be here tonight with Reverend Bookburn and Pastor Whoremaster and John the Craptist, and we're having so much fun celebrating Easter and getting nailed, and we wanted to play one of the finest Easter songs ever that was recorded in the early 80s by the Feeders. And it is a band that definitely was not homophobic, but definitely wanted to have a song that had as much bite as possible. And of course, I mean bite in the most delicious possible scents. And now it is a great pleasure to introduce the feeders. This is Halliburton Ernie bringing on a super special holiday song for Easter entitled Jesus Entering from the Rear.
Bag.
the Crucifux doing Hinckley Had a Vision from 1981 or 1982. Before the Crucifux, you heard the Feeders doing Jesus Entering from the Rear from the Alternative Tentacles compilation, Let Them Eat Jelly Beans. Jim Morrison and the Doors did American Night, Roadhouse Blues Live, The World on Fire, and Lament from an American Prayer CD. Trapeze from the early 70s did Black Cloud from their Medusa CD. Peaches did Fuck the Pain Away and started off with Freedom of Expression doing I Got Stoned and I Missed It. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme is Easter, what some people will do to get nailed. 2010. And we are most definitely going over time. So instead of ending in 10 minutes, we will talk about some things and play the entire third set. I decided not to edit myself. Plus, I promised a review of a show. So that's what you're going to get. Let's see. What's in the news? Well, the funniest thing of all has to be the chairman of the Republican Party, Michael Steele. He and other Republicans having very interesting definitions of their legal financial documents under the heading Office Supplies, plus luxurious travel hotels, and my personal favorite for moralizing family values, conservative abstinence, preaching holy theocrat jihadists, preaching kinds of people, spending their money on dancer clubs, sex workers, bondage clubs, lesbian dancer clubs. I'm not sure how that works. But anyway, the sex money scandal that just broke has to be the funniest fucking story. And there's several links to several articles about it at reverendbookburn.com. And just like we advocated commenting, not just to sites that are not right-wing buffoons, but also corporate media sites, not and the fight with the teabaggers regarding their racism, their anti-healthcare absolute rubbish, and just all of the myths from their fantasy land, like Bush wasn't so bad, but now the debt is, you know, $850 trillion, and other things that come out of the most naive fools in the nation. It's also good to go onto these places and leave your comments about how fucking funny it is that the moral crusaders, the obstructionist party, the corporate hoes, are now spending money that their pathetic little donors give them on the sex trade. And in full hypocrisy, not that even that matters, but the hypocrisy, like Senator David Diaper Manvitter, of preaching their Christian supremacy and funding abstinence programs, passing sexually repressive legislation against every adult, and then bilking their uber gullible donors out of money so that they can take luxury jets, luxury hotels, and spend gobs of money on liquor and the sex trade. How fucking funny. Michael Michael Steele and the RNC and your favorite Christian supremacist Republican people spending your money to stick it in the G-string of a professional entertainer. And believe me, we're not Democrats. And yes, we are sickened by the oil drilling, by the health care bill that does not include single payer, and the wars and the whole nine yards. But the more Nazi-ish that the Republican Party gets, the more, even more corporate ho than the other corporate party that they get, the more anti-bank and anti-Wall Street reform they get, the more racist they get, the more they deserve to be exposed for their hypocrisy and their indiscretions, as well as their extremism. So anyway, happy tipping, you guys, and keep breaking in that donor money so that we can keep the sex entertainment industry in lucrative and green business. And speaking of green and money and ripping off supporters, Sean Hannity and Oliver North, proving that they are even deeper into the bottom of the scum pond than previously believed, are ripping off their own charity for veterans. You heard that right. Oliver North, a mass murderer of civilians and key player of the Iran-Contra scam, and Sean Hannity of Fox News are rip-offs of their own charity, their own charitable organization for veterans. And that's widely exposed, widely verified, definitely fucking true. There is no argument against it. There is. That's why you have to fight in comments land, wherever you can, whether CNN or wherever you go. Hopefully one local and one national from the corporate media. You have to rebut the dumb shits who will say, no, they really didn't. They did. Sean Hannity, Oliver North, rip-offs of a veterans charity. And what else is in the news? Scott Roeder. Yes. Yes, the United States of America has, since the early 80s, had its own version of Al-Qaeda in this nation. The Christian terrorists have been in multiple organizations, but the most famous of them all are the terrorists in the Army of God. Sure, they bombed a few places in the late 70s, but they really blossomed when Reagan became president, and Reagan and Ed Meese told the FBI and people in charge of domestic terrorism to kind of lay off of them, and that's documented. That's when the bombings intensified and clinic harassment became what it continues to be to this day, almost completely undeterred, and inevitably leading to an increasing terrorism. The Al-Qaeda clones in the Army of God and others, of course, intensified to the point where there were about over a dozen murders of doctors and clinic personnel, and over 150 bombings, plus butyric acid attacks, anthrax threats, and fake anthrax mailings on endless list of the protests and harassment and terror at homes, stalking of abortion providers' children, including at school playgrounds. That sounds like priest behavior to me. And on and on. And most recently in 2009, the terrorist attack at his own church of late-term abortion provider and great and wonderful person, Dr. George Tiller of Kansas, harassed viciously by the state of Kansas and an insane attorney general, harassed viciously by Fox's Bill O'Reilly, the falafel man, harassed viciously by anti-abortion terrorists, Randy Terry and Troy Newman, who are now too busy terrorizing each other, which is kind of funny. But anti-choice terrorist Scott Roeder shot to death Dr. Tiller in May 2009 in Dr. Tiller's church, plus assaulted and threatened two other people who witnessed him doing so. He was found guilty and sentenced to what's called the Hard 50. And no, that's not a porn tape. What it means is that this 52-year-old terrorist gets a life sentence with a minimum of 50 years before becoming eligible for parole. So this is the first good news. Usually violent people get out to make room for the non-violent and harmless potheads like Mr. Z. But in this case, the terrorist is getting it. So goodbye, Scott Roeder, former member of the Free Men Militia group of the 90s and other right-wing extremist groups from these modern militias and poor parents of the teabaggers and Army of God terrorist. Bye-bye, Scott Roeder. On March 26th, 4 days after the Right to Privacy Day real anniversary, at the Trocadero in Philadelphia, a show occurred headlined by Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine. And just before them, Witch Hunt from Philadelphia playing. It was arguably the greatest show of the new decade so far. Witch Hunt doing pretty much all of the material on their new CD, Burning Bridges to Nowhere, which was not the CD that we heard their tracks from tonight, but we'll hear some of that next Sunday night. And they played pretty much their whole history of music in a very powerful set. I wish I could review the earlier bands, but like I said, things were kind of hurried early on. We were putting flyers up everywhere and on all the tables, meeting people, reuniting with others, reunited with Jello before the show, and didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the earlier bands, although from what we could tell, they sounded pretty good, and we all agreed. When Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine did play, it was, and this was agreed upon, like pretty much everybody we talked to agreed, you know, if they were older punks, they agreed that it was like seeing Jello in the ancient days, and younger punks agreed that it was like their earliest punk shows when the energy, the intensity, the intense fun, and if it was a band that said something and weren't, you know, total morons, you know, the power of a show like that, as well as the impact of the first Jello show, it was like that. It had that energy, and it had that impact.
On my name!
Playing all of the new CD material, under this band's name. The new CD entitled The Audacity of Hype. And beginning with the opening track, The Terror of Tiny Town. Playing much of Geller's musical history prior to that, including songs during his musical collaboration with the Melvins, the No WTO combo, other endeavors, and his ancient DK songs were, of course, crowd favorites, and they really kicked ass doing them. Most notably, the reworking of California Over Alice, which was changed to be directed to Arnold Schwarzenegger as governor of California. So when they did California Over Alice, 21st century, the crowd went nuts and they did it great. They did Let's Lynch the Landlord. They did Holiday in Cambodia. Fucking powerful show, powerful encore, and the very last song of the entire night was the track we played by them earlier on in the first set of music, I Won't Give Up, which had everybody join in singing. By then, people were sweating, people were moshed out, you know, people were just wowed by the show, how great the band was, how great their performance was, the speaking of Jell-O's between songs, and everybody, it seemed, was singing along to I Won't Give Up, and it was done very well. Both of those CDs, by the way, the new Witch Hunt and the new Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine CDs, are on Alternative Tentacles label, which is at alternativetentacles.com. And as you know, we don't do any advertising. So if you get a free plug, it is because of love or because you are on the show, like the occasional musical guests that we have. Or just playing something that we like and think is cool and can agree on. But at alternativetentacles.com, you can get the new CDs by either Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine, or the new one by Witch Hunt, and a lot of great stuff. The newest one from Star Fucking Hipsters, and yet another released track from the old the Subhumans and the Canadian one, not the English ones. Okay, talked out. We're going over time. I'm still going to give you the third set, even though we're going over time. Let's see. Today, Reverend Bookburn had the astronomical pleasure of reuniting with people who technically, not by blood, are family, but they're as family. It's as family as it gets. And it was just fantastic. And I was so happy, like, you know, when I was heading home and getting the show ready, you know, it's like, I guess it's like, you know, this weird delayed high, but it was like, that was so fucking awesome. But reunited despite the difference, reunited on this holiday with Nancy and Naomi of Murgatroyd Productions, and again, it's as family gets. It's as wonderful a human connection as it gets. And it was fucking awesome. And we're going to begin the third set with two songs, one for each of them, starting with Naomi's. This is... let's get this off. The Crucifix were in the background with the rest of their double CD, also on alternativetentacles.com. Our Will Be Done CD, which was technically the first two Crucifux albums. But now we're going to play song for the songs for Naomi and Nancy from Murgatroyd Productions, starting with Naomi's song, which is from the film entitled Head, starring the Monkees. We'll play the opening and as well as the theme song, which is arguably the greatest Monkee song, which is entitled Porpoise Song. For Naomi, and then we'll play Nancy's song. Here is Porpoise Song.
Yeah.
I did a lot of shit before I got into comedy, man. I used to work at McDonald's. I'm making minimum wage, man. You know what it means when they pay you minimum wage? That means they don't give a fuck about you, okay? They don't care about your Christmas. They don't care if your kids got shoes on. You know, the boss goes, hey, how you doing? You know how the fuck I'm doing.
I'm proud to see large clusters of teabaggers following the my tradition of wanting unfettered free market and ending taxation for social services and only using taxation for corporate bailouts and overbloated military budget. And I'm proud of the Bush family and our Easter traditions. I remember after my brother Neil Bush got implicated in the savings and loan scam that cost taxpayers billions, I told him he had to make it up for me on Easter by letting me clean his wife's eggs, which I did. And I spirited some lines of code. This was back in the days when I could still sexually function. I didn't have to start wars. And then proceeded to get mailed. And I thank Reverend Bookburn for doing a show like this. It allowed me to remember such wonderful and beautiful holiday memories. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
This is Dr. Lovin' Hoa, and I want to talk about our sainted teabagging party. People, these tea parties were not I Hate Obama rallies. No, they weren't. These were to let Congress know that the people are dissatisfied with what they're doing at the moment. I get asked all the damn time why we did not protest when our dear President Bush was in office. And I tell him that we loved everything he did. Besides, someone emailed me that our dear President Bush was doing his own teabagging in private. I guess that's in support of our efforts. Bless him. I was told that we right-wing GOP types sure seem to love our teabags. They say that some of us even go from party to party, getting teabagged again and again and again. I have no idea what they mean, but bring the teabagging on. Hey, you all, can I secede from America? All hail teabagging. This is Dr. Laura Hoa saying keep your bags close and your baggers closer. And teabag a liberal Dem before they teabag you. Bye-bye.
Jackson. flag is but a symbol.
So much more. And now, the news of an armed Christian dangerous militia. Where's the fart sounds? We need fart sounds for Asshole of the Week. First week from Cheech and Chong. One of the movies.
Oh, shit, man! Well, I'll warn you when you do one of those, man!
That's better. Thank you. Even after the new T-Bagger militia, the new Christian militia that got raids recently for being so dangerous, Victoria Jackson still lends her support to these armed, racist, dangerous, malicious psychopaths. Victoria Jackson, runner-up to Asshole of the Week and the second ex-Saturday Night Live performer to get that award, following, of course, another asshole, Dennis Miller. And that leads to a very special recipient, somebody who can even outshine the runner-up. Tonight, Asshole of the Week is Nebraska Anti-Choice Legislatures. Nebraska Anti-Choice Legislatures are pushing through, or to put it in Michael Steele language, ramming through. That's how he talks when he gets all hot at the bondage clubs. They want to ram through the bill. In this case, a late-term abortion act. After their brothers and the Al-Qaeda clone anti-choice terrorist groups killed performers of abortion and recently by Scott Roeder, killing Dr. Tiller, a great person and late-term abortion provider, they decided to legally go after the brave Dr. Carhart of Nebraska, who's been one of the people filling in and performing late-term abortions. This would effectively ban all late-term abortions and condemn the majority of people who request and need it to catastrophic health consequences or death. Nebraska anti-choice legislatures, you are assholes of the week. All right, we heard enough of the fart sounds. You heard Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com doing Dr. Lara Whore, the 2009 version. The Butthole Surfers did a live version of The Shah Sleeps in Lee Harvey's Grave. From Propagandi, you heard Ordinary People Do Fucked Up Things When Fucked Up Things Become Ordinary. And you also heard them do Ladies Night in Loserville and Ego Fum Papa, I Am the Pope. Before Propagandi, you heard Anal Government Hypocrisy doing McDonald's, Don't Eat It, Science Police, and POA, Prisoners of America. Before that, Reverend Bookburn's animation theme. Before that, the Dickies did Fan Mail. Before that, Social Distortion did Ring of Fire and started off with the Monkees from their film Head doing Porpoise Song. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme has been Easter, what some people will do to get nailed, 2010. We are off the air next week. We are returning in 2 weeks on April 18th for Reverend Bookburn's birthday show. In May, not sure what the themes are going to be, but we will be celebrating with every show that we do in May as a partial celebration of National Masturbation Month. And happy birthday to Lord Jesus on April 3rd. And on April 6th, our very own DJ Cindy / Mother Volta. And that's April 6th. write to me, revbookburn@sjcdc.org. Check out reverendbookburn.com always for updates. The show should be uploaded and available for free at any time worldwide at Radio For All, radio4all.net. And they really need financial help if you have a few bucks that can be spared. On YouTube, youtube.com/revbookburn. On MySpace, myspace.com/reverendbookburn. On Facebook, The Rev, first name, The Rev, and Bookburn. And on the tab that says info, a link to the Reverend Bookburn fan site. Thank you to Pastor Rex Catt for being our co-producer, archivist, engineer, and friend from afar. Thank you to Nancy and Naomi from Murgatroyd Production. And happy birthday to the birthday people and Pastor Whoremaster John the Craptist, everybody else who in any way has any kind of role or providing a feedback to this show. Gone way over time, but we had so much fun. We're going to play a closing track and get out of here. This is also a live version of a song. This is by Stiff Little Fingers, and this is a live version of Alternative Ulster. Good night.